Hey, look, it started.
It's counting.
It's counting. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Bex.
I'm Handsome Rob.
Did you forget your name?
No, I just had to double check whether I wanted to say handsome or not.
You've got a face made for radio, babe. Of course you're handsome.
Yeah, you got to start it out right. You know, you got to introduce who you really are.
So this is our show Off Ice. For those of you that don't know, we used to do a radio show together in Antarctica, and we decided to make a podcast. God knows why, but this is our show called Bex and Rob, Separated at Last.
Yeah, it's probably going to be our best show because we're not actually together.
Yeah, oh my god. Yeah, and we did not maintain that social distancing in that little radio booth, man.
Oh, that would be rough right now.
Within 6 feet. Yeah.
I mean, I guess... There's no COVID there, so we'd be
there
just
is no
fine.
COVID there. Yeah, this is
we
true.
We could cuddle up and be just okay. I mean,
but
I wouldn't
we
be
would
okay cuddling
want
up.
To. We would hate it. We could physically cuddle up and not make each other ill, except we would make each other ill.
Yes. So just a little backstory here, just in case. Our radio show in Antarctica is also called Why Are They Friends? Because why are we friends?
I still have not figured it out. It's been what, a year and a half now? How long has it been?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Year and a half.
And we still... I still
hate
don't know
other.
Why we're talking to each other. I mean, I guess there's just... You know, in Antarctica, you can't be too picky, like...
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers when it comes to friends.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm friends with a lot of people, but you really
I don't.
Nobody,
I'm a beggar.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. This is just my act of charity.
This is what we call pity friending.
This is pity friending.
Oh. So, yeah. Welcome to our friendship, everybody.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, and who knows what the show is going to be about. Like, it could be about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, today, I'd assume we'll talk about butterflies or...
Yeah. The trees. I don't think there's anything going on in the world, really.
I mean... The trees here are a little wet, to be honest. There's, you know, it's been raining.
Oh, shocker. In Washington?
Yeah, it's pretty wet, you know.
Yeah. Wow, never would have guessed.
No, it's great. The sun's actually finally starting to come out. It's been nice the last couple of days. The moon was out last night. Oh. Luckily, it wasn't full.
Oh, yep. Gotta watch out for those full moons with Rob.
Yeah, so, Bex, what are you up to, in the world these days?
I've decided for my own enjoyment, just to confine myself and all of my family members to my house. I thought it would just be a really interesting social experiment of how long does it take for me to not kill somebody.
You haven't murdered anybody yet.
Not yet.
Are you thinking about it, though?
It's like sometimes
we
like,
maybe shouldn't talk about this on recorded radio, but it sounds like you're
fine.
Trying to kill somebody.
As long as I don't kill, if I do kill someone, then this probably counts towards intent. But if I don't actually kill anyone, then it's fine. It's just, you know,
you being a little crazy. It's okay.
Me being a little nuts. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm quarantined, or a shelter in place, like, you know, three quarters of the rest of America. Yeah.
Yep.
And I've got my mom, my dad, my aunt, and my 92-year-old grandmother. One of my 92-year-old grandmothers here. So I try and, you know, we're just trying to be extra cautious with all of these old people in my house. I call my parents old now, which they're not thrilled about. But
do you have any pets?
I have one cat. He is currently
nice.
Sleeping at my feet.
Excellent.
Yeah, and is simultaneously needy and will bite my face off if I touch him.
So, it's a cat. He's a cat, is what you're
saying.
It's a
cat. Yeah, he's a cat. That's basically the definition of a cat.
Don't touch it, but make sure to touch it.
Yeah, exactly. Pet me. Oh, you've pet me too much. Stop it.
Oh, man.
Why are you not petting me? I'm going to bite your hand now. Where are you quarantining? What's your home life?
I'm quarantined... over near Seattle in Auburn. I'm actually, I guess, not in Auburn. I don't know where I'm actually at. And I've got my friend Matt. He's here, and then we've got his dog Mia.
Oh,
she's pretty wonderful to have during a quarantine.
What kind of dog is she?
Like a German Shepherd.
Okay.
Type dog. Very excitable. Very excitable.
Which is just what you want when you. It's hard to go out and constantly entertain dogs.
I'm going to be honest. He doesn't really take his dog out too much as it is. So.
Well, maybe that's why she's so excitable. You got to walk your dog.
Oh, I get it. It's not my dog. I can only do so much.
Oh, man.
But yeah, me and the dog go outside. We chill. You know, she lays there on the ground.
Yeah.
Runs around a bit. Nice. And then I get in the hot tub every once in a while. He's got a hot tub, which is nice.
I know. It's the perks of being with my family right now is a hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hot tubs in the evening with probably way too much vodka in my drink.
Oh.
That's a good way.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I bought some mezcal yesterday.
Yeah. What's mezcal?
Mezcal. This is a new thing that I've just learned. So for anybody else that wants to know, mezcal is like tequila. Basically, it's made from agave as well. So you don't like it, obviously.
No.
But it's made from agave, where tequila is made from a blue agave. Mezcal is made from basically any other agave out there. As long as it's not blue agave.
I don't understand why people poison themselves with tequila. Poison yourself with something delicious, like literally any other kind of alcohol.
Yeah, no, I find it pretty delicious.
Oh,
this one's it's a little smoky, to be honest. So it's maybe a bit much. You know, I could use it a little here and there, but
I'm just putting cheap ass vodka in my Sprite or cheap ass rum in my Coke.
Yeah, no, I buy nice tequila so that it tastes better.
Oh, I tried having that. I mean, would you have considered
it was all right? It was tequila. It tasted decent, but it wasn't like high end or anything.
I mean, I just thought it still tasted like the same shitty ass vodka I've had in way too many shots.
It's not for everybody, you know. You mean shitty ass tequila though, right? Because love vodka. It sounds like rum.
Or rum, or whiskey, just anything that's not tequila.
Just give me the bottom shelf. Whatever the cheapest stuff you got, give it to me.
That's not true with whiskey, actually. Whiskey, I do tend to pay for a little bit. Not, like, high quality by any means. I'm, you know, not rolling in dough here. But not until those $600 checks from the government start coming in. But you know, I'll pay for something a little bit nicer, because I do enjoy whiskey. So I'll pay for something a little nicer if I can.
Well, that's reasonable. I mean, that's kind of why I do that with tequila.
Rum and vodka, just down the hatchet, you know.
Yeah, I'm that way with the vodka myself.
Yeah.
Unless it's Tito's, of course. Oh,
yeah. If anyone's listening and is drinking with Rob, make sure to give him Tito's. Real good reaction. Real good time.
Why don't you just give me rat poison? I mean...
You're taking it. You're drinking tequila. You are already having rat poison.
I felt great this morning, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I felt ill this morning, but that could have just been from the amount of vodka I had last night.
And it could be because you're not like buying, maybe not the bottom of the shelf, but second shelf.
It comes in a plastic bottle, so I feel like it's not too high quality. It's
never a good sign. It's never a good sign for how your morning is going to be the next day.
It's like, I want to say, I don't even know how big it is. It's a big, you know.
Probably a half gallon.
It's like going to Costco. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Costco size.
Yeah, it's the Costco size of vodka.
We buy our vodka in bulk.
Oh man.
So yeah, sounds like we're both drinking quite a bit during quarantine.
During quarantine, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to keep safe. I don't, as far as I'm aware, don't know anyone that's gotten coronavirus, thankfully. I mean, I know it's
spreading,
awful, it's spreading, and we're all likely to get it. But
yeah, in the long run.
To flatten that curve by staying home.
Yeah. It's pretty awful. I don't know what the numbers are today, but in the last 2 days, it was like basically 2,000 people died in the last 2 days.
You know what we can do? We can actually look this up because we're not in a desolate continent with no internet.
Well, I looked it up last night. I just don't know, you know, how many people have died today so far in that sense.
According to Google, the United States says confirmed 265,000 cases. Oh, 265,001. Recovered just under 12,000, and deaths 6,766. And that's total USA. New York is where the most of it is. I mean,
oh yeah,
a third of the cases are in New York. In New York, half of the recoveries are in New York, and a third of the deaths are in New York.
Let's see.
So California, where I'm at, has about 10,000 cases. 60 people recovered and 215 deaths. Whereas New York has nearly 2,000 deaths and 84,000 cases.
Yeah, it's New York itself is almost up to 400 deaths today.
I've seen some just, you don't even have the words for it, just jaw-dropping articles of what it's like in going into these hospitals, and it's just like it's a war zone. I mean, doctors are having to think, and I remember reading about this in Italy a couple of weeks ago, is they're having to think about, I mean, they're lacking the supplies so much that they're having to think about, okay, if this patient has cancer and coronavirus, the chance of them making through it is pretty low. We should save this ventilator for someone else. It's like wartime. It's triage. You save who is most likely to save, and it's awful. But it's also, I mean, it does make sense why they need to do it, and they shouldn't have to do it. But
well, it's the reason we need to flatten that curve is because we're already having to triage people, and we don't want to have to triage more people.
Yeah, if we can stay home and, you know.
When you have 20 ventilators and 30 people that need them, half of those people, or, you know, 10 of those people, 30% are done.
I've seen they're like somehow jerry-rigging it that you can do, like, you can like attach multiple patients to one ventilator. Some doctor came up with a way to and they all, but the trick is everyone needs to have about the same lung capacity, so you can use one machine. But yeah, they've been messing with them to try and make them last. Some of the ventilators that they got from the federal government aren't working. There was some contract dispute. The contract ended with this company that checks all of our federal medical equipment that they had in their stock. There's some company that had the contract to keep doing checks on them, making sure they were functional, and the contract expired last year, and there was some kind of dispute, and so the new company didn't actually start doing any checks until this past January. So, you know, a lot of this equipment is just not, it's not work, it doesn't work. It's, you know, it's getting to hospitals, and people are like, excuse me?
This isn't helpful.
This is the opposite of helpful.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing is definitely like showing how fragile our system is in so many ways.
Yeah. I'm just seeing an article. I haven't read it yet, but coronavirus first savaged parts of Washington state, or sorry, first ravaged parts of Washington state. Now there are signs of a change. So, I mean, it seems like in Seattle, they're starting to see that shelter in place taking effect. I mean, it was going to take a few weeks to really see
I think all around we're starting to see, like, the places that have started to shelter in place and quarantine and whatnot, we're starting to see that curve start to flatten. I mean, it's still got a ways up to go before we hit the top of that curve. I mean, we're like 2 weeks out from the top of that curve.
Spain and Italy are just starting to flatten starting to plateau. So hopefully they head back down soon.
Well, and our peak is supposed to be, we're looking at like April 15th.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing here, I'm using worldometers.info. they're saying that assuming full mitigation, on April 15th, at the peak of the curve, we'll be hitting about 2,200 deaths a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it's great. That's basically like a 9/11 every day.
Yeah. It's, I saw that. It's like we've now reached more deaths than 9/11. And when we hit that, it's just, I don't know, it hit in a whole different way. Just
we're well over doubled.
Yeah. And just putting it in a perspective that I think people understand. I mean, just saying, hey, there's, 6,000 deaths, 3,000 deaths sound like a lot. But when you put it in the perspective of something that people already kind of know, like 9/11,
yeah.
The number of people that died in 9/11, I think it's easier for people to kind of grasp the severity of it.
Well, another way to think of it too is like right now we're at 6,700 deaths. Really people didn't really start dying until we got home from the ice in a sense. So in a month and a half, we're at 6,700 deaths. In less than a week, we're going to have doubled that number.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And then a week from that, we'll have doubled that number again.
Yeah. And just, I mean,
like the number of deaths is exponentially rising.
Yeah. I'm reading people's stories of people who have recovered. You know, they're saying, you know, it felt like there was glass in their lungs. Like they thought they were dying. I mean, they were, it was that, you know,
yeah.
You know, people who say, oh, it's just like the flu. It's just like the cold. And I was one of those people in the beginning. I was like,
especially on the ice.
Yeah. You know, especially when you're on the ice and the information you're getting is very limited of how much, you know, you can actually research and
yeah.
Like, oh, it can't be that bad. It's fine. Everyone's overreacting. And, you know, then you just get a little bit more information. It's like, wow, this is brutal. This is so much worse than the cold or flu. This is just awful.
Well, and the scary part is we also don't know how it's going to affect us, like in the long run. Like if you get it and how, like that idea of like, oh, it felt like I had glass in my lungs. Like how does that actually affect your lungs and how is that going to affect you a year from now?
Yeah. Is your lung capacity going to be diminished? Or, you know?
Yeah.
Is it going to be, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And I know that they're kind of coming out with immunity tests to, which and other countries are doing this, and you can kind of see, you know, how long they're trying to eventually be able to figure out how long is this immunity going to last. You know, in 2 years, is it going to all pop back up again, and by hopefully then we have a vaccine, or you know, is this like chickenpox where you tend to have immunity for almost your whole lifetime? You know, what kind of immunity do you get from this?
Well, and especially having all the different strains of it already. Like there's already like 8 different strains.
Yeah. It's,
can you get each different one?
Can you get each different one? You know, if you get it mildly, does that create enough antibodies to be able to protect against it as long as if you get it severely? You know, it's interesting. It's really interesting to look at also these maps. I was just slightly changing topics, but these maps of people who stay home, people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, and they've got it, you know, it's like they take it from cell phone data, which can be a whole nother topic of a little terrifying that they have this, but you know, it's like, you know, they have it in five different blocks of colors, 2 greens, 2 yellows, and a red of people who have moved.
They're going out and going about, a certain distance or farther kind of thing.
People who haven't moved. Yeah. I'll send you this. Yeah. It's on the New York Times. So you can see, like, you know, in lots of California, we haven't been moving for quite a long time. Montana actually has not been moving for quite a bit, but that could be because people in Montana don't need
Montana.
I mean, that, you know, they've got a lot of property. They, you know, probably
you don't go to the store as often.
You tend to stock up anyways. The South is all very red, which means they are still traveling a lot. That could be because of these later shelter in place orders that they've been given. Disease didn't seem to affect the South, Southeast as quickly as, I mean, it didn't, it started more California, Washington, Oregon, and New York, and now is just starting to spread down there. So it'll be interesting to watch this map and how it changes. Over the next coming weeks, now that, you know, places like Florida and Georgia have, and these other surrounding states have these shelters in place. in effect throughout the whole state. Yeah. Just crazy. It's all so crazy. My grandmother was like, this is a woman who was alive during the Great Depression and World War II and Nixon and the Vietnam, this is a woman who's lived through a lot. She's 92 years old. But she was telling me, she was, I was like, man, your generation has gone through a lot. We had 9/11 and then we had our Great Recession and now this, and a lot of us are pretty young that have lived through all of this.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see the effects this ends up having in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. There's economic effects, the healthcare effects, the political effects. We have an election this year. We have a presidential election this year,
which is also wild in that sense of like, I think the biggest downside of that in all ways is that we won't be, we're not going to be thinking rationally like we, do we normally think rationally? But it's that idea of we're going to be thinking like in a panic situation as opposed to long-term thought, which is, we are in a panic situation in a sense, but at the same time, there is still, I think there's still a need to think long-term in that sense.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because, in my opinion, I feel like when there's economic instability, we tend to go for more conservative.
Yeah.
But the conservative right now has not been great for the healthcare, and people are really worried about healthcare, which is kind of more a more liberal leaning. So it'll be interesting to see what people's main concern is come the election. Right now it's kind of healthcare, but it could be the economy, because
It'll also be interesting to me to see how, because like you said, there is generally that, I feel like there's that like lean to both of those, but at the same time, I think that especially right now there's an interesting dynamic where things feel backwards in a lot of ways, where things might lean kind of the opposite direction, where it almost feels like people are like the panic kind of concept is leaning more towards the liberal side, and then the health side is strangely leaning more towards the conservative side, which feels funny to me.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and where we all go, from now.
The Democratic National Convention has been pushed back a month. It's now in mid-August. I believe Ohio just made every single voter at home mail ballot.
The mail-in ballot.
Mail-in ballots, yeah.
That's not what it's
absentee
called.
Absentee ballots, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if every state just makes I've been absentee ballots since I became a voter, and when I was turned 18, I just have always done absentee ballots.
Me too.
But but that affects people who don't have a home. If you are homeless, how do you vote?
You know, that's a great point. As a person that's homeless but still has a mailing address, I'd never actually thought of that.
Yeah, if you don't have any way to go in and vote, your interests aren't being taken into consideration.
I think that we should try to set them all up as absentee ballots, but at the same time, that's actually a really important point on why we still need in-person voting.
Yeah, polls, in-person voting. Yeah. If all the people that could do absentee did, I think that would take a lot of the pressure off of, some people are waiting, especially with people, various governments shutting down, different precincts, different voting places.
To help people that are standing in line for like 4 hours at a time.
Yeah, there was this guy in Texas who stood in line for a primary for 7 hours. He was the last person. He stood in line for 7 hours. It's like, people cannot afford to do that. They have work. They have kids. They need sleep. They need to eat. We should not be having this system where it takes you 7 hours to vote. It's just boggles the mind. Like, if you can send me my absentee ballot in Antarctica, or when I lived in New Zealand, sent it to New Zealand, I'm sure we can find a way to make it so people don't spend 7 hours voting.
Yeah, that's super wild.
But yeah, but I mean the campaigns with Biden and Bernie have stopped, so it's, I mean, if our pause, so it'll be really interesting to see who gets picked.
Oh. Yeah, I got my opinions on this election, and I don't know. It's,
yeah,
just doesn't feel very American anymore.
No, well, what someone said to me a while ago is, you know, what we're talking about, what happens if like Trump postpones the election, or Congress postpones the election, you know, if the government postpones the election because of safety, of, you know, mm-hmm. it would be unsafe. What happens? And, you know, they were saying, well, even if the election doesn't happen, the election kind of has to happen, because if it doesn't,
we don't have a president.
Trump is not, as soon as the inauguration was supposed to happen in January, whatever, Trump is no longer president. He doesn't just stay there because we haven't elected someone new. And that means that the vice president is out. The Speaker of House,
all of those elected officials.
Yeah, she won't have been elected again, because it's every 2 years. So it would fall to the fourth in line, or the third in line, the president pro tempore of the Senate. So it'd be this guy who's basically in charge of the Senate. Who would, because he was
not even the Speaker of the House, is it?
No, because Speaker of the House is elected every 2 years. So
Pelosi or whatever?
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. So House of Representatives are elected every 2 years.
Yeah.
So they're constantly running for re-election. But they, it wouldn't be her. She would be next in line after the vice president.
But she's not there anymore.
But she won't have been elected either. So, unless, you know, California does all their elections and she gets reelected. But so then it would go to the, since senators are every 6 years, they're elected. And this guy was elected, I want to say in 2016 or 2018, he would still be in office. He's not running for reelection right now. I think his name's like Chuck Grassley or something. I can't remember his name.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But so he would be president if we pushed off the election. He would be president, which is,
it's an interesting concept. I had not even thought about that. Like, I mean, who knows where we'll be, you know, 6 months from now in that sense.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not at a point where we're still having to push things off like that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think if we had a Democratic nominee, it could be pushed back a bit. But because we don't even, the primaries aren't finished, we don't have a Democratic nominee, then, you know, people can say one way or the other, oh, this person's more likely. But until everyone has voted, you know, until it's in, neither one of them is the Democratic nominee.
And yeah, no, totally. That'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, especially after all of this going on.
I feel like, you know, some delegates are required to vote how their state voted or how their people voted, but some delegates aren't required. So it's possible at the national convention that they could just pick someone.
If it's a contested convention in that sense, then yeah, definitely that's kind of the way it ends up working. They kind of just kind of vote.
Yeah.
As a
which
group.
Is great. I love that my vote completely means nothing.
Yeah, no, so it's definitely awesome. It's definitely a weird system where we're like, that's why we're not in a democracy in that sense. We're like,
yeah,
your vote doesn't actually count. It's the person that you voted for's vote.
Yeah.
How do we get delegates? Who chooses delegates?
You know, I looked into that one time, and I don't remember how that works actually.
How are delegates chosen?
I mean, the weirdest part in a lot of ways where it feels like this is part of the American voting system, but or electoral system, but it definitely, especially at this point, it starts to feel more like it's part of the American party system.
Yeah.
Like what we're doing right now, like delegates and all that, has absolutely like nothing to do with who becomes president.
Yeah.
I mean, it does in the long, long run, but like right now it's like such a weird, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense at all. It's all nonsense.
Nonsense. Oh man. Yeah. Well, I've been seeing the CDC is expected people to tell expected to tell that everyone should start wearing masks. At first it was like only do it if you're sick or you're exposed to someone sick. They wanted to save all those masks for, you know, frontline workers, which totally makes sense. I mean, people hoarding masks is ridiculous. So, but I think they're going to make a recommendation that people wear cloth masks in public, you know, make one.
And for me, it's, I was thinking about it yesterday where it's like, oh my gosh, I might have to start walking around with my friggin' neck gaiter on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel so weird. Like, this is what I wear in Antarctica. Why am I?
I didn't even think about doing that. My mom found some fabric. It was like a pair of her pants from the late 60s. Like, this is some wild ass fabric. and she found it, and it's really good, like tightly woven material. So it'd be really good for masks. So we're gonna turn that into some masks, and But I didn't even think about that. The neck gaiter. I've got a good neck gaiter that I could have been wearing to the stores.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's easy. It works well.
I keep my distance from people, but yeah. Yeah. But I'll have to start wearing that now. Oh man. Yeah. Thank you, Antarctica. I had this, big scarf, I can't remember what they're called. Afghans. This big Afghan that I was wearing a lot to keep, because it provides a lot of warmth.
Oh yeah.
I was wearing it around, or really cuts the wind down, which is nice. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to need it in the States. I'll leave it in Antarctica for next year. And now I'm like, dang it. I wish I had it, because I could latch it around my face really well. You know, it's I feel like it's a pretty good fabric for kind of keeping, I could keep everything tightly in. And now I'm like, ah.
It's such a weird world we live in now, where it's like a month ago, if somebody was, two or three months ago, if somebody was walking around town with a neck gaiter on, you'd be like, what the heck is wrong with that person?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's middle of winter, but other than that, like, you look very weird. You're walking into a store with a neck gaiter up, like, oh, is that guy going to rob us?
Exactly.
And now it's like, can you please walk around with a neck gaiter on your face?
No. Now it's, you've got people wearing like trash bags as hats with like full like preparing for a nuclear holocaust, like
kind of gas mask.
Yeah. And like they've like duct taped trash bags so none of their skin is exposed, and it's like you've got, or like I saw this one picture of a woman with like a kitchen sponge just wrapped around her mouth.
Yeah,
there's some beautiful ones. Now it's totally, that's like the norm. Like, this is, I mean, maybe that's still the fringe, but
it's
a lot more normal to just be walking around with your face and your body completely covered up.
You say like that sponge thing, like it looks funny, but at the same time you're like, I get it.
Yeah, but I wonder, does it actually work? Like, is that sponge really, like, are you really protecting,
I hope it's
yourself?
Not a used sponge, you know.
Yeah, used it to wipe off the coronavirus surfaces, then put it in your mouth.
I hate sponges in the first place. I hate sponges.
Do you hate like the texture or the?
It's the concept of, they hold on to water, so they're just, to me, they're just like this thing that is made to mold.
It's true. Oh man, but I do wonder if these people taking off their masks and taking off their trash bags duct taped to their body, if they are doing it properly so that they're not exposing themselves to the, like, say if someone sneezed on your mask,
I would say
if you touch the outside of the mask and then touch your face,
there's a 90% chance that a lot of them are doing it wrong. Like, there's been a study that 30% of medical professionals take their gloves off wrong.
Yeah. You've got to really be trained properly to do it and be thinking about it. Like, you know, I've done, in first aid courses I've taken, they've taught me how, and I'm pretty sure I could do it, but it is a little bit of a mind fuck trying to think, okay, how do I do it without actually touching the thing? Like, without touching my skin.
How do you make,
thing you could do is, you take off your gloves and then just wash your hands.
That's like, yeah. You know. I mean, and that's what you're supposed to do anyway. You take your gloves off, wash your hands. Like, and that's where a lot of people are having problems too. Is like, oh, I had gloves on, so I took them off, and I'm just fine. And it's like, no.
Well, it's like, I had gloves on when I went into the store, and then I touched my car keys and my car and my steering wheel, and then I took my gloves off in the car, and then I touched all of these things again, my car keys. And it's like, okay, well, if you've touched these things, that, you know, you need to.
That's in a lot of ways. That's what's what's most difficult. It's like, I want to bring hand sanitizer to the store with me.
Yeah.
And I get out of the store, and I now have to reach in my pocket to grab my hand sanitizer to put it on.
Yeah.
So now my pocket is obviously dirty with whatever was on my hands.
Yeah. I've got,
it's tough.
Yeah. I've got, I put hand sanitizer. I've got one in my purse and one in my, or in my tote bag really. And, mm-hmm. and one in my car. So I'll hand sanitize before I go in. Mm-hmm. and then, you know, go through the store, come out. And then I will, hand sanitize my hands. I can kind of easily reach into my tote bag without really touching anything else. And I can hand sanitize my hands then before touching the car. And then I'll go and I'll hand sanitize my, my cards. I try and do that, you know, when I've just gone out to the grocery stores or whatever, just to kind of make sure nothing's on. I mean, getting it through that is just so unlikely, but at the same time, because I have a 92-year-old grandmother at home,
you gotta be super vigilant.
I gotta be so careful. I have to be,
Well, and me and my friend,
like, basically washing my entire body face when I come in. Like, they're closing me down.
Well, and me and my friend, we'll go to the store together, and I'll sit in the car and wait for him to come back out, and I'll get out and give him hand sanitizer and open up the doors and whatnot. So that he can, you know, load up the car and whatnot, but like that way only one of us is touching the disgusting stuff and doesn't have to spread it to any of our stuff.
Someone quote me if I'm wrong, but I believe the sun kills the virus quite quickly, like within 5 minutes, is what I'd read. So like on your car door handles, it's probably pretty safe. Like the sun's kind of, I really should check that before I go.
Don't go spreading misinformation where you're going to get people coronavirus.
Yeah. Well, this is when people can actually correct us too. On the ice, no one can correct us. No one can get
the best part is, who are you going to give coronavirus? Nobody's listening to this.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah, no one ever listens to our show. Oh, yep, I'm wrong. Someone has not been proven to kill coronavirus. Liars. Yeah,
don't ever believe Bex.
Don't ever believe me. I'm full of lies. Imagine if someone did listen to the show right up until that point and then just stopped.
That's the one clip that they got of our show was just that 12 seconds, and now they're dead.
And now it's full of lies.
I mean, we are pretty full of lies. I mean, I'd say since we don't fact check 100% of what we say, 95% of what we say is probably not right.
Yeah. I mean, we're used to just lying to everybody, so.
Yeah, and there we can be more confident because, like you said, nobody can fact check us. Like, what are you going to do? Use the internet?
That was our go-to.
Hey, I Googled something. That's a good joke.
Yeah. I got the internet to load. I got my computer to even log in.
So good. Man. I miss the slow internet,
Except I'm really enjoying being able to watch Netflix.
Oh, what are you watching on the old Netflix?
I just watched this new show called Unorthodox. It's loosely based on a book this woman wrote about. She was living as ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jew in Williamsburg, New York, and she left that life and moved to Berlin. So it's her book. Her book is called Unorthodox. I believe her name is Deborah Feldman, and it's. So the book, the it's four parts, they're an hour each, and it kind of goes through in flashbacks watching her get into having this arranged marriage, and you know, kind of the first year of married life, but it also starts from when she leaves the community, and you know, gets a she has citizenship from Germany through her mother and through her grandparents. So she kind of is able to get out and go to Germany. And it was a really interesting way to see, you know, one person's perspective of, being in the, you know, this community. And some people have critiqued it, saying, oh, this is making it sound like the, you know, ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews are terrible people. It's like, well, no, it's, they specifically didn't really talk about the community. They were talking about her specific story. But it was really well done. Most of it, the show's in Yiddish. And then it's also spoken a little in English and a little in German. So it was interesting to have, you know, it's like the first TV show ever to be spoken entirely. I mean, like a popular show to be spoken in Yiddish.
Netflix. I've never heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've been watching.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I watched Chernobyl.
Oh, I watched that on the ice. Very good.
I mean, I know it's an old show and all, but.
But we were, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've not. What's pop culture, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't know if you know what it's about.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Chernobyl, Bex. Yes, I have.
You saw it, obviously. Yes. You know, I thought it was well done. It wasn't quite as it changed my perspective on the whole thing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know a lot about it, to be honest. I really, you know, I knew a bit, but I did not know heaps about Chernobyl because it happened before I was born, and it's, you know, just wasn't really. But you know, I did. It was really interesting to see. And it's dramatized, and some of it's a little different than from what actually happened. But it was quite interesting to see more of the details about it, and I didn't realize kind of what had led to it.
Well, and that's where I was kind of curious, like how much did they dramatize that side of things? In a sense, I mean, it's especially with like the whole court thing and the way that worked, it seems like it was at least relatively real. The concept of at least what led up to it and what happened.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize as well. I'd read quite a bit on it, a few years back in a sense, but it was in my mind, the perspective I had of it was a lot more accidental. Like obviously it wasn't intentional or anything like that, but it wasn't, it was less that could have been done to prevent it. You know, it was like, it was totally a fluke kind of thing is what it seemed like. And it just the perspective I had of it was that a lot of the people involved, like the people they had that had to run up on the roof, you know, like you get 90 seconds up there, you know, throw stuff in.
Yeah. Or those people that went down into the water.
Yeah.
There's like three. Yeah. And I mean, was trying to look up about those guys, and they're different things about whether or not they did survive. You know, some people say they died immediately. Some say that, oh, they actually ended up living a long time.
I think they aren't even sure who those people really are.
Yeah, it's so. I mean,
it's the USSR, which is the worst part. It's like they didn't want anybody to know anything about it. So we don't have so much information.
There were no records. There were. I mean, it was just
according to them, 31 people died. So
yeah.
That's, you know, it's one of those issues where it's, but like the perspective I had was that those people were heroic and like they felt like they were doing like a civic duty, where it seems more like they didn't quite know what they were doing. And
it's like those first responders to the
firefighters. They had no idea. They went in and walking in to put a fire out
the brick, and like their hand almost fell off from like uranium and just.
And they had no idea. And that's, it seems like heroism to me, but at the same time, it's really just like,
it's heroism because they were still going to save people, but it wasn't quite as, they also were being lied to constantly.
It wasn't like I'm going to save humanity. Yeah, it was that idea of I'm going to do my job, which is heroism for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that, you know, no one told them, hey, you know, I mean, and no one knew, no one believed that this thing could blow up at first. It's like, no, these things, like, this can't happen. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And, it's just, but then, you know, to afterwards, to just keep keep lying. And, you know, you'd like to think that something like that could, I mean, I think it would be harder for something like that to happen now, but
it also, know.
You know, you wonder, could something that lie like that happen again? It's just,
I would say, yeah, pretty much. I mean, in some ways, it's, we don't know so much about this whole thing, but like, you know, in some ways it almost feels like the coronavirus bit in China.
Yeah.
I don't know what they've hidden, because we don't know what, we don't know so much.
Yeah.
And it's almost feels like that kind of same thing where it's like they were trying to shush it up. We don't want to let people know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, definitely. Who knows? Maybe this is all just perception of how we viewed it, but I don't know. It's a difficult thing.
It seems like it'd be harder to hide stuff now with social media and with, you know, the internet, but
totally.
But at the same time, you know, it is depending on the country, you know, it could be, or depending on, you know, you look at certain news sites these days and they are perfectly fine with spreading misinformation and lies. So, you know, it's really.
Totally. Well, and it seems like it's, you know, tough for something like that to happen, but at the same time, something like the government cutting off our phones could happen at any time.
Yeah.
And if we have a disaster where they're like, oh, we don't want that information to spread.
Yeah.
You cut off people's phones.
They could cut off
the internet.
They could cut off the cell phone service. They could, you know, they can put us, if they need to, they could put us total lockdown. You know, I mean, just being ordered to shelter in place, I think, was a slightly crazy and a little disturbing idea that they could do that, that we could be ordered to stay home and fined if we don't. And, you know, I think it's something we value our freedom and our ability to move so much in this country.
Oh, yeah.
We don't realize that. I mean, and I'm not saying it's wrong. Like, I think the shelter in place is exactly what we should be doing, but it is a little.
It's hard for a lot of people to hear in that sense.
Yeah, it's startling to think that the government can do that. It's, you know, you didn't even really realize that they did have that power. So.
Well, and are you all at a point where, like, if you don't shelter at home, you can get fined?
I believe so. I think we just had a new shelter in place order in effect for my county, for the whole state. For my specific county, we're allowed to move throughout the county for essential services.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard someone was talking about how cops were outside, like, Home Depots and checking people's receipts, and if they weren't buying essential items, they were being fined. But
oh, wow.
This is all just rumors, so I haven't seen or heard anything direct, so I'm not positive. But in the county next to me, in San Mateo County, part of their shelter-in-place order is you cannot go more than 5 miles away from your home unless it's for essential services. And I think that was to prevent people from going into their county, really, because that's where Half Moon Bay is, and it's some really, like, nice place to do hiking and biking and things like that. So people are coming from other counties now that they're not, you know, now that they're not working or whatever, and they're you know, going over to the coast, and all these coastal counties are like, whoa,
they're getting overwhelmed.
Yeah, we're like, get out, like, we do not want you here, we do not want you bringing the virus here. So yeah,
it's interesting. I hadn't quite thought of things in that way. I honestly, like, if I have to do some shopping, I'll actually drive like an hour away.
Oh, really?
Partially just to get out of my house. And, you know, have some, I love to drive, you know how that goes. So it's partially for that too. But I hadn't thought of, like, is that a bad thing to do? Like, should I be staying at my own shopping center?
It could potentially be either bringing the virus from that place to your area, or if you happen to catch it in your area, bringing it out, you know. Yeah, it's a hard one. It is. I mean,
I guess, and it's this weird concept where, like, if I have the virus, you know, if I have it, I'm spreading it to people. It's just different location of where those people are getting it. I don't like that. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going out. I'm the one person that goes out. No one else in the family does. I mean, they, you know, go out for walks. My dad will go on a bike ride. But, like, I'm the one who goes to the grocery store. So I kind of, you know, I've been seeing a physical therapist, which counts as essential services. So when, you know, I go to see the physical therapist, who is, wow, my physical therapist is better than most hospitals, I think. Like, she is on it. She is like, anytime someone comes with it, I mean, you know, when you're seeing a physical therapist, you have to be within 6 feet. But yeah. As soon as you come in, you have to wash your hand, sanitize your hand, your keys, your phone. Everything is constantly disinfected. She got a couple masks for her workers so that they're always wearing masks. And then, you know, anytime she goes from the patient to something else, she washes her hand. And then before she goes back to the patient, she washes her hands again, keeping that 6 feet distance. If you have a fever or a cough, you're not allowed in.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's on it. But yeah, so I'll go to the physical therapist and then I'll go to the grocery store and I'll kind of time the grocery store run with a period where I'm already going out and, you know, exposing myself to the world. And then, yeah.
It is so, that's another interesting part of like this whole thing is how we're actually dealing with it in public spaces. We're like, we had to bring my friend's dog, we had to bring her to the vet. Mm-hmm. And the way that the vet works now, like you pull into the vet and there's stop signs everywhere. Like, do not leave your car.
Yeah.
Like you pull into the parking lot and you call them up and they'll come out and take your animal from you and bring it in. And you sit in your car.
Interesting.
And yeah, it was really interesting where like there's that whole, like we sat in the car for half an hour while they saw the dog and, you know, did all the checkup. And then basically it was like, they called him up and like, hey, these are, you know, this is what's up, blah, blah, blah. You want to pay over the phone kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was definitely an interesting setup. And then it's like, you go into stores and now all of a sudden, like, I mean, it's super smart because 6 feet is a weird distance. Most people don't know how far 6 feet is from each other. Like, so they started putting down lines of tape. So you know how far 6 feet away is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, keep this distance right here. Your front of your shopping cart is here, or you are here, or whatever. This is how far away, you know, they put up plexiglass in front of, between the
you and the customer service worker.
When I mean I have to go to the doctor once a week to, you know, check up, follow up for my shoulder. Mm-hmm. I call up and they check me in over the phone and then I wait for them to call me, and then as soon as they call me telling me the room's ready for me, then I go in straight to the room. There's no waiting in the waiting room. You wait in the car. It's that same thing, except, you know, with the dog.
Yeah That's interesting too. I hadn't thought about that side of things. That's wicked. Well, it's also like something else. I didn't realize how small things like aisles in stores are. Like,
yeah,
6 feet wide. You can't walk by somebody.
Yeah,
you start making aisles like one direction, and you have to stand in line to shop or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I found the grocery stores now. I mean, before, like the day before the shelter in place order took effect. That was just, I mean, we hadn't been doing this whole hoarding thing. We had six people in the house at that point. So we just running out of groceries and things we needed.
Yeah.
So my sister and I went to the, my sister happened to be visiting right then. So we went to the grocery stores together, and it was just, you know, almost everything was gone off the shelves, massive queues. But then, she ended up going back home right after shelter in place sort of took effect. And then I went grocery shopping next week to kind of stock up on some more of the stuff we're out of. And the grocery stores were almost entirely restocked. You know, paper towels, Kleenexes, that's hard to find. Instant noodles, those are the most difficult things to find. But everything rice. Else is fully stocked. Oh, rice is fine. Pasta's a little bit iffy there, but pasta's back totally fine. And, you know, all these things, it's... I could just go to the store. There's not a lot of people. Like, I think max I've seen, there's like 30 people in the store, maybe 40. No one's
monitoring. It's definitely quieter in the store.
Yeah, everyone's kind of calmed down, and you're just going for what you need. And so, you know, every once in a while I'll run into someone in an aisle, but not too often. And yeah, it's usually pretty empty. And you can't bring your own bags. We're back to. So stores aren't charging you for using their bags now anymore.
I was going to say, yeah, you're in California, so you're used to that. Like my hometown, it just recently changed where they don't even have plastic bags in the store anymore.
Yeah.
So they definitely, like, they had to do like an emergency, like, hey, we got to get bags in because
we had banned plastic bags in this County a couple years ago. Before that, they started charging for plastic bags mm-hmm. a few years before that. And then we banned plastic bags. But there are plastic bags in the stores, again, at least in, like, Safeway that I've seen. But a lot of other them are still just paper bags.
Yeah.
You have to use their bags.
Not now, but yeah.
Which I usually ended up paying for paper bags because I'm just terrible at remembering to bring my reusable bags. Just awful at it.
I've bought like 5 or 6 new reusable bags since I got home
I lived in New Zealand, almost every time I'd go to the store, I'd end up buying a new reusable bag because I kept forgetting mine in the car. And I didn't really want to use, like, they didn't have paper. I didn't want to use their plastic. So I was like, okay, I'll just buy a reusable bag again. I had like 10 of them. And I was like, oh my, I started leaving them on like my dashboard and my front seat. So I'd be like, mm-hmm. please, for the love of God, just remember your bag.
Yeah, no, I remember like a couple years ago, I remember my first time going to a store in California and I get I've got like a basket full of stuff and I get up to the thing and I start scanning and I'm like, wait a minute, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? I can't carry it out in my hands. There's no bags anywhere.
That's like the transition to adulthood from like being a kid where like it's your parent that remembers the bag or that pays for the bag. And now you're like, oh God, I did the adult thing and I bought groceries, but how do I carry it? Oh no.
Well, I had no idea. It was the first time I'd ever dealt with a no bag situation.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's fun times. It's great though. Like, yeah, it's a good positive change.
Yeah.
It is
interesting to see all these little things that are changing and how we're able to, how hard and how easy it is for us to change our behaviors to kind of deal with this situation, you know, remembering not to touch your face and washing your hands frequently, you know, 20 seconds, you know, it's just habit. It's just, you know, you do it so often, don't even have to think about it.
I don't know if you've noticed, I've been touching my face like this whole time.
I've gotten a lot better about not touching my face. I don't know if I have been, to be honest. Every once in a while, I'll go for a
cheek. You haven't.
But
it's a weird part of this whole thing too, where like I would notice if you touched your face.
Yeah.
Like I was watching, I don't remember what I was watching the other day, but like they got out into like a public space and everybody was like real close together. And I got really uncomfortable all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, get away from each other.
Coronavirus.
Social distancing. Yeah. It's a weird feeling, and like this hasn't even been that long, and that's something I think about when I'm watching a movie.
Yeah, it's been, how long has it been for? So we had our first shelter in place order on like the 16th or something. So it's been just like a couple days shy of 4 weeks for us. Sorry, of 3 weeks.
You mean has it really been, really?
Yeah, it's been like just over 2.5 weeks, nearly 3 for us for the shelter in place.
Yeah, I got out of there just before your shelter in place order.
When did Washington go into one?
A few days after yours.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like California was one of the first to do a whole.
Yeah, well, the statewide,
yeah. So I think, actually, I take that back. I believe the counties and the surrounding counties, like 6 Bay Area counties near San Francisco, we started on the 16th, but our statewide, I don't actually believe, started until like the 19th or something like that.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at my calendar, I was going to say, like, my road trip-wise, I want to say 19th sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, and then other states have slowly started following. I mean, Florida and Georgia just did. Like parts, mm-hmm. I know parts of Georgia had shelter in place orders. Different counties that were affected by it, they had shelter in place orders. But then the whole state just did it, and I believe Florida was the same. Certain counties had shelter in place orders, but the whole state finally did it. The governor finally did it. Yeah.
I'd made it down to almost Yosemite.
Oh, did you? Almost
Yosemite, and then I saw a sign that said, you know, something about chains being required on your car, and I was like, well, I've got to turn around, I don't have any chains.
Oh man.
I've never owned chains, nor have I ever put them on.
I can teach you how to put on chains.
I feel like it's relatively easy.
It depends. It depends on the kind of chains you get. Some of the, especially some of the ones that say, like, you know, easy to fit, are the most difficult ones in the world to fit.
Don't you just like lay them down and like roll onto them and then like wrap them around the tire and clip them together? It depends.
So I mean, like most of my chain fitting experiences with my buses, and ours are big ladder chains. So you hold them up and they literally just like look like rungs on a ladder.
Yeah.
And so for that, you know, I would throw it over the tire. I mean, these were heavy chains. They're mm-hmm. big tires. You throw them over the tire and then you would I'd kind of line it up so I would, if I was going to reverse onto them or drive forward onto them, you know, how you have it laying on the tire, roll forward and then latch them up and tighten them up. And then after like 100 meters, you're supposed to check it again.
To tighten them again or whatnot.
To just make sure, it's properly tightened, because as you're moving, you know, they could move to fit mm-hmm. and you have to just retighten them.
For everybody that's not from NZ, that's New Zealand, 100 meters is about a football field.
Yeah, a football field. Thank you.
Just in case. Some people are, you know.
Just in case. But yeah, like for me, those ladder chains are really easy to fit. But then you get mm-hmm. these weird diamond ones or these weird like, oh, just attach here and here and here. And they're like, especially in the car ones, they're so bizarre. And your brain is just
finding
like,
those right fitting points.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, making sure you bought the correct ones for your size tire and all that stuff, and it's a bit of a nightmare. But
yeah, we don't use tire chains here in Washington because snow.
rain. Well, I remember driving up to Tahoe with my parents when I was younger, and my dad did like lay the chains down and then drive onto them and then do it. So I guess that's a way to do it. Or you know, my preferred method was put them on. Drive over them, realized I put them on the wrong way, reverse back off of them, put them on the correct way, drive over them. It always happens when, like, you know, we had really bad chain days. There was one time it just took me like like 45 minutes or an hour to put on my chains because I put the two of the chains on wrong first. Like, it was just, you know, you're just trying to get up. it's when you try and rush that you mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was my first real proper chain day in the big buses. Like, I'd done them in shuttle, but like, it was my first big proper chain day. So I put them on. Like, I put the wrong ones. I put the ones that should go on the front accident. I put them on the rear. And yeah, so then I had to take them off, put those on the ones on the front. And when I went to put the ones on the rear, one of the chains was so tangled. I was spending like 20 minutes at this trying to untangle it. Another coworker comes along, he gets out of his bus to put on his chains, and he helps me. And together it takes us another like 5-10 minutes to untangle these chains. They were so, so tangled. And it's like, you got to feed it right. Otherwise you're just, oh my God, it was a nightmare. But it was absolutely hilarious to look back on. But yeah, it was like the most insane day on the mountain. We'd had, you know, cars into the ditch, you know, people just sliding everywhere. It took like 2.5 hours. Normally it takes 30 minutes to get down the mountain, 45 to get into town. It took me like 2.5 hours to just get down the mountain. It was absolutely insane.
Gosh.
Yeah, memories. But yeah, chains are a pain in the ass.
Well, yeah, no, in that sense, yeah, no, I saw that sign going to Yosemite and I turned around and I pulled over and I'm like, where do I go now? And that's when I got a phone call and I was like, hey, you shouldn't come to Texas.
Yeah.
And it was like, I am going straight back to Washington.
Back to Washington.
I think I made it back and, you know, I think I probably made it back the next morning is my guess now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not the next morning, but the next day. But,
yeah. Oh, man. Oh, this whole situation.
I just want to be driving. To be honest, I wish I could just be driving across the country right now.
I was going to do a trucking course and get my Class A.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to start it about the 16th, 17th. And that's when I was in this shelter in place. I was going to just pay. I was going to get, you know, commercial driver's license, just pay for it, and then try and find a job. And nope, not anymore.
Now you're not doing that.
Not
doing anything.
Nope.
Is there like an online CDL course?
Nope. Learn to drive the truck online.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna wait till everything opens up again, and then I'm not even sure if I'll work this summer. I mean, there might not be any real driving. It just depends on when things open, how tourism kind of rebounds. Like,
right.
So it's fine. I mean, I'll get my commercial driver's license regardless this summer, but, you know, I'm just gonna go with the fun employment for the summer.
I just got a call from my boss at the national park, and he said that everything's kind of still on at this point, but it's at the same time still up in the air.
Yeah.
Keep
going as if it's gonna happen, but
yeah,
it could not.
But we're looking at I'm not supposed to start there till like mid late May anyway. So we got some time, but at the same time, who knows if they'll extend this, you know, stay at home order another month.
Trump just extended it to the 30th of April. I think California extended ours till like May 3rd.
Ours is the 4th of May.
Yeah.
Washington.
So it's going to be interesting.
This is also, it's wild in the sense of, it's very comparable, I feel like, to the ice in the sense of like, hey, you're leaving next week, TBD.
Everything's up in the air but the planes.
Yeah. Oh, I showed
I need to make a coronavirus sticker next year.
They loved it.
Yeah. I feel like it's so applicable with all the planes canceling as well. Like all the flights. Some domestic flights and international flights, but most of them are canceled.
Oh, totally. Like I live right now. I'm staying in a place that's basically right next to SeaTac Airport.
Yeah.
So there's always planes flying overhead, except for right now. It's freaking quiet here. Like,
yeah.
A plane here and there, but not much.
It's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts. I don't know really how much traffic there is outside of San Francisco, but I mean it's a pretty big airport, and they are still doing flights domestically. Like you can, so yeah.
I mean, there's still flights happening, but it's definitely not many of them. Definitely not.
And I think, and I'm not positive, but I feel like they've kind of lowered their max. Like they're not going 100% capacity on flights.
No.
When they hit some certain capacity.
I think they're doing one person per three seats.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
I'm trying to remember how to spell coronavirus. Jesus. There we go.
At least a lot of them are doing one to three seats. And at this point, I don't think they're even filling that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that they're flying with like 10 people on board tops.
Yeah. Oh,
which is wild.
Yeah. I haven't seen any numbers for the capacity. Coronavirus. Try to look it up, but it's interesting.
I mean, I saw a video of LAX the other day, empty. I mean, none of the stores are open for sure. Yeah. And there was like they did like a 360 pan, not a single person in that video,
is
wild in LAX. That's like, nuts. Gosh, I hate LAX.
I hate Chicago. I hate O'Hare.
I've never been there.
Oh my god, it is a nightmare of a place. It's just
Is that maybe the airport that's in Home Alone?
It might be. God, it's been a while since I've watched Home Alone.
God, I love Home Alone. That Macaulay Culkin, you know? He knew how to play a kid with problems.
Because he grew up to be a kid with problems.
Oof, that might have been a little close to home for him. You ever seen that video by chance of him like he's like an Uber driver or something?
No.
Macaulay Culkin. Like he picks some people up and then he starts telling them about his childhood and like, oh gosh, there was these guys, they like tried to break into my house and I had to defend it against them. Like, my parents left me at home. Like, he's just talking about, like, basically he's playing the Kevin McAllister grown up. Oh, it's so good.
Even think I've seen Home Alone 2.
Oh, it's so good. Lost in New York? Yeah.
Yeah. And there's Home Alone 3, I think, but not with...
Yeah, no, that don't even go. Home Alone, there's nothing after Home Alone 2. There's only the two.
How many did they actually make? Are there actually, like, seven or something? Oh my God.
Maybe five even. Who knows?
Oh God.
I mean, when it's as successful as the first two, you can't stop there, can you?
Yes. Yes, you can.
And at that point, Macaulay Culkin would have been a bit old, and it would have been like, you know, it's okay that you're stuck at home alone. You're like 14 now.
Home alone throwing a party. Home alone, parents coming home.
Gosh, that's funny.
Oh my God.
That would have been way better. Like Home Alone 3, like breaking the party, something like that, you know?
Yeah. Alone 3. Oh man, we could spend forever trying to come up with titles for these.
I could Home Alone 3 all day. As long as it's not the Home Alone 3 that actually happened.
Yeah. Now I gotta look up how many Home Alone movies there were.
I think Home Alone 3 had that kid in it that was in all those movies around that time.
That kid in it? Wow, you're helpful. Home Alone franchise.
Oh, it's a franchise now, is it?
Home Alone came out in 1990. Home Alone 2 came out, Lost in New York, 1992. Home Alone 3, 97. Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House, in 2002, and Home Alone, The Holiday Heist, in 2012.
They haven't made one in 8 years?
They made one in 2012, but they're in August 2019, announced that Disney CEO announced, because of the acquisition of 21st Century Fox by Disney, Disney CEO Bob Iger announced that the reboot of the Home Alone series is in development and will be released as a Disney Plus exclusive.
Oh, you know what I think they should do? They should get Macaulay Culkin, and he's got a kid that he leaves at home.
That would be phenomenal. I thought buying Disney Plus would be super dumb, but I was kind of running out of things on Netflix, so I was like, okay, I'll do that first week free trial or whatever that they have.
Yeah.
And it's all of my childhood shows and movies. Like, I can watch all of those stupid Disney Channel original movies, and I'm
like
loving
it. Brink?
I'm loving every single second of it.
Free week would be reasonable.
Yeah, except now I'm paying for it and it's $7 a month, and I don't even care. I can watch Kim Possible or Even Stevens or Lilo and Stitch. Like, I was so stoked. Phil of the Future, like all of these crappy ass kids.
Talking about how young you are.
Yeah. I know. But all these crappy little shows and like Disney Channel original movies that I watched as a kid that was like really part of my childhood.
They were so good.
Yeah. It's like, now I can watch them and I'm so stoked. I'm so stoked.
It was like that movie that turned into a mermaid. Like, what was that? 13 or something like that.
I don't remember that one.
He turned 13 and then he started to turn into a mermaid.
Whoa.
Or a merman. Merman, Dad.
I watched the new Lady and the Tramp, the live action Lady and the Tramp, the Lion
was
King.
It good? Were they good?
I mean, I thought they were good. I'm not saying these are movies are, in my opinion, these movies when they're rebooting all of these, it's just a new way to see my childhood. It's a new take on these childhood movies. And I mean, some of these movies came out in like the '50s, but you know what I mean? Like the things that it's just, or that anyone grew up with. It's just a new take on it, a new way of doing it, but they're not necessarily some award winning movie. Like, you know, it's still the same movie. They've just, you know, done it with their 3D, with their, you know, all live their action, CGI and live action and whatnot. But it is kind of cool to see how they, you know, how they can do it. I mean, I liked Lady and the Tramp. I liked The Lion King. I know some people didn't like them. Watching animals move their mouths is a little bit weird, but but at the same time, like, I thought they were good. They move their mouths like talking like humans.
Watching
animals move their mouths. They don't talk. They don't make noises.
Animals don't get to move their mouths ever.
Yeah, they just silently, you know, make noises. But it's Rob's dying. But it's really cool. Like, it is cool to watch the CGI and just how they do it. And it's just fun. It's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. Have you been quarantined too long? Especially with your family, right?
Oh my God! Please save me. I do love my family. I'm just the kind of person, like, I've lived away from home for 3 years. Like, I mean, I lived halfway around the world. I lived in New Zealand and went to Antarctica. Like, you know, being back home is just not really the place I wanted to be. Some
space.
It's the what?
It's good to have some space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you said it's the cats and space. I was like, what?
It's the cats in space, you know? It's a space cat.
Space cat.
It's what I call a space pizza cat, actually. It's a piece of pizza that looks like a cat, and it's in space. That's right. A space pizza cat.
Oh my god. I so don't miss you.
I mean, is it as bad as a water meowing? That's right.
I forgot you made all of those memes.
It's a watermelon that looks like a cat. I didn't make any memes. I sent pictures.
You're sounding like Ivan again when you laugh. For those of you that don't know, Ivan the Terror Bus is one of the things we drive on the ice. And Ivan makes some Ivan's old. I mean Ivan's as old as me, actually. He was
Isn't
born
he
a
older?
Day before me. He was on the little plaque inside him said he was born December 10th, 1993, and I'm December 11th, 93. But I think his engine is from the 70s.
So I was gonna say, for everybody's reference, Bex, while she's not young, has aged much better than Ivan has.
Yes. Well, Ivan has also spent his 26 years on Antarctica, on an icy, desolate continent. I feel like if I spent my first 26 years of life just in Antarctica, I would look a lot older, too.
It's probably spent, like, tops 2 weeks of its life over 40 degrees.
Yeah. That's a rough life for him. But he makes a lot of squeaking, leaking noises, and Rob laughs like that. And Rob will just start wheezing and get him laughing really
wheeze.
Hard.
It's a wheeze. You guys ever seen that Toy Story, that wheezy penguin?
It's the same. Oh my gosh.
It's a good life, you know. Oh gosh.
Oh, well, on that note,
I feel like this has been fun.
This has been great. I need to eat lunch.
But yeah, that does seem like a great place for us to stop.
With the wheezing.
Yeah, with my great laughter.
Yeah. And your face for radio.
Yeah, well, luckily for everybody out there, they can't see it.
Yeah. Oh god.
It's just you that's being tortured with it. Too.
Yeah, we figured we should like Skype each other or Google Hangouts video chat each other while we do this show, because you know there's a lot that you get from just seeing the other person, but then it's like I'm still near him. It's like I still can't get away.
I feel like the lot that we get from this is that we have to see each other and it sucks.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. Even though, let's be real, no one is. Especially right now, since we're just recording it. But no one's ever going to listen to this. I think, like, obligatory.
Maybe all those bored, lonely ice people.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan will listen. We know Ryan will listen.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean,
he's
can't do anything
without
else.
Alyssa.
Well, he's quarantined without Alyssa, and he got his wisdom teeth out. So he's just sitting there, you know, feeling sad and pain.
It's gone all bad.
Yeah. So now we'll just make it worse. He has to listen to our voices. Oh, I just totally lost your sound. Oh, well, this is a great time to end because I can't hear you anymore. Okay. I sure hope someone can. I don't know if it's catching you. Well, until next time. Bye, guys.